We continue our series of messages that deals with the question, is Jesus contacting you? We've been using our phone, and today, I'm very excited, you will be able to use your phone, your mobile device. I should be more accurate on this. Oh, look, I've got a message from a guy from the 8 o'clock sermon. And we shouldn't be looking at that. Okay, it can be very distracting, but we want to make our mobile devices a very sacred thing for us, something that encourages us in our faith rather than something that distracts us and burdens us. But the question that we're asking is Jesus contacting you, and he's asking some questions about your life, your purpose of your life, trying to give you guidance about what you were created for, how you were to accomplish that, about your relationship with him, your relationship with other Christians, all those kinds of things. And today we're going to be looking at discipleship in God's word and how that's supposed to lead and guide us. And so we'll be taking a look at that as we go through this. We're asking the question, how do I grow? How do I grow in my faith? How do I grow closer to Jesus Christ in everything that I do? How do I grow into the person God wants me to be? I mean, it's really dangerous to stop growing. That's always a bad thing. Or you should always have life and full of the sort of vim and vigor that is a part of it. When you have young children, they just are like just exploding with growth. And we should have that same kind of thing as God's children. We should have that same kind of explosion of growth and maturity as we go on. But how do we do that? We want to look more closely at that. Obviously, we're going to be using God's word, the Bible, to do that. We've been using this one passage, and I'll invite you to join with me as we say it together. But this is a beautiful passage of encouragement, a passage that says that things aren't just happening by chance or that things are out of control. God is using all the events of your life to bring about your salvation, to bring about your well-being. That doesn't mean that necessarily you're going to avoid all kinds of difficulties, but he will be with us through those hard circumstances. But we also should acknowledge all the good things he has for us. So let's go ahead and let's say this together. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Now again, I encourage you to put it on 3x5 card. Go ahead and put it as your screensaver, whatever you want. I think this is a passage worth sort of embedding into your life for the rest of your life as we go through this. So as we're looking at this series about Jesus contacting us, he wants to contact us about our following him, being a disciple of his, and being baptized and knowing his teachings as a part of it. And that's how we're going to be growing. But this is a good question, but I'd like to sort of start with a quote that comes from Mark Twain. You may be familiar with it. It's an old classic one. Love this so much. It ain't what you don't know that gets you into trouble. It's what you know for sure that just ain't so. That sadly, that's often been the case, is that now, again, I do lots of research for my sermon. I did a whole research about why do we call people stupid? This was a tangential kind of thing. But it listed out when do we acknowledge that that person did something really stupid. And almost all the time, the one that was highest was when somebody was so confident in what they were able to do, but it was a confidence that wasn't backed up with reality. And so you have all the funny videos where some guy thinks he's going to jump from one thing, and he's super confident, but he's not going to do it. And he thinks it's so, but it just ain't so. Okay, so here's one of the things that our society will say to you and puts it out there that just ain't so. You can do anything you put your mind to. Now, I will say there's a little bit the kernel of truth in that. There's a piece of that that I don't mind. But when you just take it on face value, this is just stupid. There are just some things you're not going to be able to do no matter how hard you try. I would love at age 62 to be able to dunk a basketball. It ain't going to happen. That ship has sailed. And even when I was young, it didn't happen. For some of you young people, that may be so, and I encourage you to continue on that. There's just some things. My favorite one is if you believe you can, you can do anything you put your mind to. Is that how many Olympic athletes if they all believed, well, I believe I can be a gold medalist. Well, I'll just tell you, they worked real hard, but only one got the gold medal on that. And so it's really important that as we look at some of these truth-isms, that we understand that you can have some level of success and be better at it, but it isn't necessarily that you can do anything you want. Let me give you the second one. If you believe, you will achieve. You have to say it with a kind of vigor on that. Actually, all of these I sort of like at some level, but to take as an absolute, there's some real problem with this, because it implies that if you're not successful, you didn't believe enough, and it's all your fault. Now, in the Christian church, this comes in, and you'll find it when we're praying for somebody that to be healed, and or if somebody's having a difficult situation with relationships, and we're praying, and then it doesn't happen the way we prayed about it, for the Lord in his wisdom doesn't allow that person to be healed. But then what'll happen is say, well, you didn't believe enough. That's why the person didn't get healed. The promise is that, yes, there needs to be belief and confidence and on that. I'm not trying to minimize that, but it should lead to action and adapting and learning, persisting. And yeah, that's going to lead you to some better success. Let me give you a third one here. Think positive. Now, I tend to be sort of a positive thinker. I'm always trying to, at least I tried to be, on this. I think there's, again, a kernel of truth in this, but inside that is that if I just think positive, if I think I really want $1 million, I really want $1 million, I really want $1 million, and I'm going to think positively about getting $1 million, but I don't do anything. See, thoughts without action, that's just stupid. Again, if you want to do a study of that, you can join me on that. But see, now to act positively and to act in a right way, regardless of your attitude, now that's a good idea. There are a lot of times, and this is what we call growing up, where you do something and you don't want to do it, but it's the right thing to do. I mean, many of you pay your taxes. At least I hope most of you do. And you may or may not have a good attitude about it, but you do the right thing. There are times when, for I remember as a parent, we took good care of our kids, even when they weren't necessarily very fun to be with on that. But you do the right thing. And so, anyway, let me give you the one I'm really trying to get to, is this one. Just be yourself. Now, you don't have to get me going. I'm already going on this one. That's okay. I'll give you the positive part. If you're talking about being authentic, not trying to be phony, trying to be something that you're not, don't be a hypocrite. Don't be something, you know, don't fake being who you are or something like that. Being authentic, that's okay. The problem is that just be yourself. There's an old joke that goes with it. I had to sort of clean it up for church here. Just be yourself, unless you're a jerk. Then please be somebody else. So there's a part of it is that we acknowledge just being ourselves includes being a sinner. We'll get to that in a minute here. Just be yourself. Normally when people are saying, well, I'm just being me, and there's all kinds of songs out there and all kinds, it's popular all over the place. Just be yourself, all this other stuff. Usually when I hear it, and probably most of your experience, it's an excuse for really bad, rude, and socially unacceptable behavior. Well, it's just the way I am. Oh, that's this next one. That's an excuse. It's just the way I am. Well, stop being who you are. Please improve yourself in all this. See, now, I'll give you the exception. If you're a B, then be yourself. Okay, that's sort of a little pun there. Be yourself if you're a B. Does that make you happy, Steve? Because a B's nature, a B knows who or he or she, I guess, are they, whatever, I won't go there. I had to do some more study on that one. They can follow their instincts because they are not perverted by sin. So their nature about being a bee is going to come out with pure integrity in the actions that are bee-like, that they are as bees should behave, is because of their nature. And there is a perfect one-to-one correspondence on that. They do what they are. Now, I will say that's really where we want to get to, but we've got to change our nature, which is the difference here. Bees can't transform into butterflies. That's their nature. Even when we talk about a caterpillar becoming a butterfly, there's a huge metamorphosis in many ways. We're talking about here in the Christian faith, we can become different. In fact, God insists on it. And you'll find the terminology is all over the place. Be born again. No longer be children of the devil, but be children of the Heavenly Father. No longer be in the dark, but in the light. There's this complete transformation and metamorphosis, to be sure. But we can change by the power of the Spirit and God's Word into being somebody different. The Word of God is going to be very clear about this. But this is just the way I am. That's just weak and rickety rationalization, just to use that phrase there, for not becoming a better person. We want to become everything God wants us to be. We are to be disciples in Jesus Christ, not infants that remain as infants, but that we mature. And I mean, St. Paul talks about, I wish I could give you some meat, but you're just babies, so I had to give you milk because you're not ready for the stuff because you haven't grown up. And that would be my encouragement, is that how do I grow? How do I become the person God wants us to be? See, this is really beautiful. God accepts us just as we are. But Romans 5:8 says that while we were yet sinners, God demonstrates his love in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he takes us the way we are and says, you're a sinner. But I'm going to send my son to be your savior in all this because he loves us too much to let us stay that way. He says, well, it's just the way I am. That's not very good. It's time to maybe be something else in all of this. And this is where in the scriptures it talks about the old self versus the new self. And we talk about, again, being born again and being dead in our trespasses and alive in Jesus Christ. So that terminology is all over the place about this huge transformation from the old self to the new self. I'm going to be taking you through Ephesians chapter 4 because I think it gives a beautiful example and description of sort of this whole transformation and then living the Christ-like life that is to be ours and the way we're supposed to live our lives. And so I'm going to walk you through this, and you'll see some details here. Part of it is that we are transformed by the Word of God, so let's make sure that the Word, that's why I didn't have any problem with the long, that was a long reading here. She did good on that one. Okay, you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. Please understand, in fact, you'll find it with Jethro saying the things about some things to avoid and then there's some things to do. In the Christian life, we're supposed to flee youthful lust. That's the thing we avoid, and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with all those who call upon the Lord from a pure heart. I was just doing confirmation very briefly, but I talked to the kids about the commandments, that the way that the Luther is able to take a very beautiful thing where he takes each of the commandments and he says that there's a part where we keep it and the part where we can break it. And so there's the part, these are the things you're supposed to do to keep the commandment, and these are the things that we need to avoid so we don't break it. And so you're going to find that in the scriptures a lot. Avoid the one, pursue the other. So it says, no longer walk as the Gentiles do. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of immorality. And again, here it comes again. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former, that's in the past, so now we're looking to the future, former manner of life, and is corrupted through deceitful desires. That's the problem, is that we need heart transplants. Our old wicked heart needs to become completely removed, and a new heart in Jesus Christ embedded in there. But we are, and here comes this renewal now, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and we're going to be looking at Romans 12:2 here in just a minute about the transformation of our minds in this as a part of this new growth. To be renewed in the spirit of your mind and to put on the new self. We took off the old, now we're putting on the new, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So here's the beautiful thing. Jesus saves us from our old self so that we can become a new person. And we can become that new person that is like him. We were created to be in his image. So we're supposed to have his character, his attributes, all the things that are godly. We will not be gods, but we will be godly in the way we live to be like him in all of this. And the Bible's given to shape your character. Now, this is the beautiful thing. And now I'm about to say, and now the technology part of the sermon. And I would turn it this way, but it has all these messages, and they're very distracting on that. So I guess so. Okay. So I'm like drawn to my little device here. The beautiful thing here, and actually I happen to be pulled it up from the other sermon, is that there are things, they're called applications, and usually people shorten that to what they're called apps. Just saying. Okay, so you have your mobile device. You can download such a thing called an app that has the Bible. That's the book for me. You can download the Bible right into your mobile device. I will tell you how you should do this. You should have two, is my recommendation. Not found in the Bible, but it is Phil's philosophy. Have two different Bible apps. One that you can hook up to when you're connected to the internet, and then one when you're sitting in the airplane and you don't have cellular connection or internet connection, that should be embedded in your phone as a downloaded app and have the whole Bible, because it's so great. All of a sudden I hit my little app and here we are, Romans chapter 14. And what's nice in my app, and I'm not going to tell you which one. You're big boys and girls. You can figure this out. Find the app that actually works for you. I had a lot of people tell me there's all kind of devotional apps, which like Portals of Prayer. You can have that. I will also encourage you, please use your Bible that's on your phone or on your mobile device, and use it to have it so you can hear the Word of God as you're driving along. You can have it playing through your sound system on that. The Bible, we need it with us at all times. I mean, how many times do I see people, they don't have anything to do, boom, they pull up some game. I'm not opposed to games or anything. But why not take a moment or two and look at God's Word? I mean, I remember in the old days, I mean, Bibles used to be like really big. And, you know, the paper was really thick, and lugging around a family Bible that was as big as a stone or whatever. And I'm not opposed to paper Bibles. I'm just encouraging you to have that and other things. And so please use God's Word in all of this as we go through this. This is where we can learn about our new self, the new person that God wants us to be, made in God's image. And that should be inspiring to you. I'm supposed to be somebody that's like Jesus. It's really very encouraging. It says in Romans chapter 12 that we are not to be conformed to this world, that's the old self, but be transformed, that is, we are supposed to be more like Jesus and have his character and all this, by the renewal of your mind. So the transformation comes as God's Word gets embedded, and then all it goes through the nooks and crannies of your life. We always talk about head knowledge, heart knowledge, and hand knowledge. That you learn it in your mind, and like with the confirmation kids and the young people that are learning during this time, that you know what it says, but then you have to believe it with your heart, but then that belief will then turn into real action in all of this. So it's a very beautiful day, this transformation, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. You can't find out what God's will is without God's Word in all of this. So that's the encouragement. They all go together. What is good and acceptable and perfect. So be your new self. Don't be just who you are, but be this new person, conformed to Christ's image, connected to the body of Christ, being here as church not building, church being people on this, other Christians. And so how do I grow to be Christ-like? Now, I'm going to give you a practical way to look at this. It's this transformation of the mind through the Word of God. And let's just go ahead and continue with Ephesians 4. Now, we ended at verse 24, now we're at verse 25. These next few passages are as good an example, and we can have others, and I'll share those with you in a moment. But this is as good an example of what does Christ-like living, this new self, what's it supposed to, how do you do it? What's it look like? And so the Word of God, the words of Jesus in all of this, as his Spirit speaks to us, says, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor. Okay, that's check that one off. Let's do that. Number two, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Typically, when I'm doing premarriage counseling, I say you should probably not go to bed angry, that you should resolve these things, or at least say, go to bed saying we will deal with this at a set time tomorrow, but somehow that there is a peaceful understanding as you're going to bed. And basically, it means deal with it now on that. Here's another one. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he will have something to share with anyone in need. And notice that it says not just go to work and take care of your own, but to go to work and see if you can have an abundance that you can share with other people. Very loving and very Christ-like kind of thing there. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So you're about to have some conversation, maybe after church and later on this afternoon and tomorrow morning. You're going to get together. Fortunately, the Broncos will not have played, and so there'll be a little bit of happiness. Well, we'll talk about the Rockies. What about the Rockies? I'm hoping they're not playing on Monday. I just want them to win and be done with it. Okay, but what kind of conversation do you have? We should acknowledge that sometimes the kind of conversation we have is not very Christ-like. It's not grace-filled. It's not encouraging as well as it could be. And it doesn't build people up. So then we have to say, well, how can I help this person? How can I be a blessing to this person? Let's make sure that my conversation is something that is a blessing. I know Holly and I were at a party for one of her friends, and the conversation was very encouraging and uplifting. It was one of those fun parties because people were so positive and upbuilding and all that. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, okay, along with all malice. Boy, there's quite a list there. So, okay, to be Christ-like, I got to make sure that, wrath, bitterness, slander. Ooh, boy, I don't know if I've been watching the news, and so I'm starting to slander people in all this. And that's a good list to look at. But then remember, that's avoid these things. Now here's the things that we can follow to be Christ-like. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. This is beautiful and wonderful. Now, I could have gone ahead and looked at the Ten Commandments. That gives you Christ-like character. We could have looked at the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. We could have looked at the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Those would have been good. There's a Word of God. There's just so much that's there. I encourage you to take your apps and keep it with you at every little moment. Let the Word of God come into your life that you may have a transformation of your mind that can move to your heart and then into your hands, from head to heart to hands. Very important in all this. Let me just conclude with this. How many of you are familiar with this phrase here? Always be yourself. Unless you can be Batman, then always be Batman. I'd like to change that as much as I like Batman, as much as the next guy. He's a little dark sometimes, but I do like Batman. Always be yourself, unless you can be like Jesus. Then always be like Jesus. And that's where I really would like you to go with all of this. So how do you grow? How do you become everything God wants you to be? How do you become like Jesus Christ on that? It's always going to be on the Word of God, where we put our faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins, and by the sanctification and the power of the Holy Spirit, we are transformed into people, these new people, the old self gone, new self in Jesus Christ being brought together. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, I thank you so much for these men and women and children who have come to hear your word, to be instructed, and so that they can have their faith encouraged to always trust in you for their salvation, but that they can also continue to grow and mature in their faith. Help them to grow and mature. Help them to become strong in their faith, standing firm and going forward with your word leading and guiding them. Bless them, we pray, that your word can come into their hearts in a deep and powerful way, transforming them and helping them to be able to love you and love others. In your name we pray. Amen. Please stand for the benediction of the Lord. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.